Hi, and welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray as you listen, God would meet you and speak to you in a personal way. Here's this week's message from Pastor Corey.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for being here with us. We thank you for your presence through your Holy Spirit that's here. And we just really are just so grateful that you would consider to send your son to die for us because you want a relationship with us, because you want to free us from our hurts and our chains and our bondage. And God, you just are so foreseeing us be the best we can be, and we're so grateful for that. We invite you to continue the work that you're already doing this morning. And right now, we just take a moment, we pause, and we say, Holy Spirit, I give you room to continue to work in my heart this morning. Yeah. Father, too, I just commit these words to you, and I just pray that you would just bring some life to them in a way that would be meaningful to everyone who's listening this morning. In your name we pray, amen. Right on. Good stuff. You guys ever been given bad advice? Yeah, I can hear it. You're probably thinking of that time, if I had only not listened to that advice, right? And maybe some of you are still paying for that today. I don't know, you know. I was thinking about all the bad advice that I've been given. It made me sad because I realized I'd listened to so much of it, right? So we were shopping for a used minivan. It was at that stage of life where I had to humble myself and get rid of the car. Oh, Lord. Well, the humility never end, right? And if you love a minivan, that's awesome. You just keep driving them. It's good, right? But we went to the city looking for a used vehicle, and man, it's like every vehicle that we looked at, according to the person who owned it, was the best minivan ever, right? And I kind of got sucked in on one, and it was like, this van is reliable, it's got so much life left, it's going to drive your family forever, think of the great adventures you'll have, blah, 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 right? And somewhere in the second or third blah, 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 I was like, okay, I believe you, I'll take it, right? And it's like we're driving home, and I made it like to Carmen, and it died. He's like, "What? Like you said, this would be the best van ever, not the best van in ever." Yeah, I don't know. It's like, yeah, I should have known right there. But like I was so humiliated. Why did I listen, right? And I had to call my father-in-law, and he had to, you know, tow my new vehicle home, right? Bad. But I'm hoping, too, that at somewhere in your life journey that somebody's given you some good advice and you've chosen to listen to it, right? Because good advice can be really sweet for our souls. You know, and I remember I was fairly new to ministry and really struggling, just didn't really know, God, what am I doing here? You ever feel like, God, what am I doing in life? And I had a young family, and there was just so many challenges in my life that were just causing life to feel a bit overwhelming. You've probably been there too, right? And I remember so clear, there was a man who was about, he was about 10 years older at that time. I said that yesterday and Chris called me. Is he still 10 years older today? Yeah, probably. He's 10 years older than me. And he was also in ministry at that time as well. And he also had gone through some difficult situations and some of them very, you know, very close to what I was experiencing, and he recognized, you know, that there was this need for encouragement in my life, and it was such a beautiful thing, and it wasn't often, it was once a month that he committed for a period of about a year just to connect with me and encourage me, and he encouraged me in my marriage, in my ministry calling, but even just in my day-to-day faith and what it looked like to live for Jesus and deal with the challenges of life. And I was so thankful for that man who took that time and saw those needs in my life. You know, and we've been talking about this multiplication series and specifically about sharing our faith, right? Talking about what Christ has done for us and opening, you know, what we've experienced up to the rest of the world, to the people around us. And last week, Pastor Brenton, you know, gave us really four great points that I think could kind of set us on a path to help us understand that and even just walk that out, right? And I think those points are really about helping us live out our purpose. And so with that theme in mind, I want to talk today about multiplication, but with a slightly different perspective and looking at multiplication through discipleship, where we share our faith with the purpose of encouraging others who feel alone or need guidance, you know, in navigating life and even just living out their faith, right? And so often discipleship can be connected to those who already have faith, right? But just encouraging them in that. And, you know, sometimes we hear that word a lot, right? And you kind of go, what's the big deal about discipleship? And yet over the years, as I've come in contact with so many people, time and time again, especially in the younger generation that I've worked with over the years, I meet people who feel so alone in navigating their faith. God, what am I doing? God, how do I do this? Am I doing this well? I feel like I'm messing this up, right? And maybe you can relate to that a little bit. You know, if I was to sit down and ask each one of you, you know, how many of you would have appreciated at different points in your life if you had someone who saw needs in your life and saw that you just need encouragement, who would have come alongside of you and say, hey, let me help you. Let me encourage you. I see that maybe there's a struggle in your life. How can I encourage you today? And I think if most of us were honest, we would have probably said, yeah, I would have liked that. I could have used that in my life, right? And if you've been around church for a little while, you've probably heard the term discipleship a lot, or in other circles of faith. And I sometimes wonder, okay, what does that actually mean? What does it actually mean to disciple somebody else, right? And so I looked it up in the biblical context, and the definition of the word disciple or to disciple someone actually just means to help others. It's like, oh, that's like way easier than I thought. Right? It's like, sometimes it just feels so big, and it's like, to help someone else. Oh, maybe I can do that, right? You know? And it was like, at its core, it's really just that simple. And as you're looking for this word, disciple, it's actually not used a lot in many places of the Bible, but where it's most widely known is a passage that probably a lot of us would know this morning. It's in Matthew 28, beginning in verse 19. And it says this: "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age," right? And so in the context of making a disciple, in Matthew 28, in that context, we look at the steps that were called in regards to discipling another person. And it begins with opening up about our relationship with the Christ, with the hopes and prayers that someone would, for themselves, also want to choose Christ, right? So it's leading people to Jesus. It's encouraging them to take the next step in baptism and share their testimony for the sake of encouraging others. And then as we read further, it's really about encouraging someone and teaching them what it looks like to live for Jesus on a daily basis, encountering struggles and overcoming hurts and obstacles in our life, right? And I really believe that this small but important passage is still our calling today. I don't think it's changed. Even though it was written thousands of years ago, I believe it's our calling today. And yet as we look through Scripture, and sometimes even though that calling can feel a little bit vague, we find that there's other passages and other Scriptures that help to define our roles, and specifically in who we are and what stage of life we're in, that I think are even helpful in helping us understand what does it mean to actually disciple someone else. And I want to paraphrase just a few of those in who's called and what it looks like. In Hebrews 13:3, here's the call to those who should disciple others. All Christians are to exhort and encourage each other every day to avoid sin and stir each other up to love and do good works. Right? So when you come across another believer, encourage that believer. It's like, man, we got to go for it today. We got to be strong today. We got to really, really give ourselves to God. We got to serve others today. Or, man, I know you're struggling today, and I'm just going to send you a little text or a little encouragement. Don't give up. Don't give up today. That's discipleship. We can do that, can't we? Yes, at least 10. All right, we're moving. We're going to keep going. 1 Peter 4:10, all Christians. If you're a Christian, this is us. Use their gifts to serve others. And sometimes I hear the excuse, I don't know what my gifts are. Awesome, join our gifts course. We want to help you. We want to help activate what God has planted inside of you. And so if you know something that God has gifted you to do, God, give me a way to do that today and help someone. And there's some specifics. Older women are to train younger women, right? Women in the church this morning, do you know a woman who's younger than you? Oh, you know your calling. There it is, right? Right? Discipleship, this is not that tough, right? And just encourage them because you know what other women are going through. You've walked through some stuff. Share your heart. Share your encouragement. Fathers, train your children. So as parents, we're called to disciple our children. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul trained Timothy. And then Timothy trained others who trained other people. And you can see the multiplication process by one person choosing one person. And then in Matthew 28, missionaries are to teach the nations everything that Jesus commanded. And even in a really simple way, in Acts 18:24, Priscilla and Aquila, on the spur of the moment, explained the way of God more accurately to Apollos so then he could go and share his faith, right? So faith conversations. And so this is just a glimpse of what it really looks like. And you know, and as you all know, we've been talking a lot about the discipleship school. We've been pushing that. And this has been a dream of Pastor Claude's for many, many years. And even in this last year, we've been pouring in so many hours to dreaming and vision and purpose and all of those great things. And if I'm honest with you this morning, over the past few months, there's been this growing voice inside of my head that sounds a bit like this as I'm thinking about leading this school. And the voice says these things to me. This is way too big for you. You're not smart enough to do this. You're not equipped well enough to do this. What do you actually know about running a discipleship school? Right? And it's so easy to disqualify ourselves from things, isn't it? These voices that come, that try and discourage us, right? That try and confuse us in our calling. And yet if I stop and take a step back, I know that God is faithful, right? Right? We know that God is faithful. And to be honest, I'm not completely surprised that this desire is stirring in my heart to do this because it feels like my whole life God has been asking me to do things that are way bigger than me. And so we shouldn't be surprised that the calling feels bigger than us. And so often God is calling me outside of my comfort zone. God, I just want to stay over here. It's really comfortable over here. It's not requiring anything of me here. And he's calling us always just to take that one step over, right? And I love it because at the end of the day, when I look back and you can and go, whoa, God, look what you did. It just reminds me that even when I feel weak, God chooses to do big things. And I think that's pretty exciting. And so last week, we were having a planning meeting over some of our preaching topics, and Pastor Chloe was sharing his vision for my topic for the weekend. And he said, I want you to talk about multiplying through discipleship. And it's like, all right, good. I'm excited about that. And then he says, like, okay, now I want you to use our discipleship school and its purpose as your example. It's like, oh yeah, I can really do that, right? That's been in my head so much. You know, I'm beginning to think about our mission statement and our three purpose words, right? And I've got those on the screen here. Like, so I'll talk about establish, like come and understand our identity as sons and daughters. We'll talk about experience and serving God, who knows us personally, about being powered in this calling. And I'm formulating all of these thoughts and these ideas. That's really good, Corey, really good. But actually, I want you to help narrow the purpose down even smaller to funnel it to something very specific, right? And I want you to talk about the heart of what we really want to accomplish in this school, right? And so he defined the purpose and the heart of our discipleship school with this, where he wanted to say that GM Discipleship School exists to be a father to the next generation. That's the heart of the school, to be a father to the next generation. And you know, that perspective really shifted something inside of me. And honestly, it really captured my heart because sometimes, you know, we think about discipling, you know, it's just programs and it's strategies and it's part of big things that are hard to kind of get a hold of and grasp. But the reality is that at its core, discipleship is one person having a conversation with another person and fathering them for the sake of the gospel. And I looked at my own life when I heard Pastor Claude say that. I go, man, I've been a father for 25 years. I've made some mistakes. I've done some good things. But that resonated in the heart because I can be a father. I can be a father to these students. And it kind of got me really, really excited. Because at its core, guys, when it comes to discipleship and being a father to the next generation, I just started to make a list in my head. Okay, what does a healthy father figure do? Well, they nurture, they encourage, they express their love, and they teach, and they guide, and they protect. And these are just a few things. And in so many ways, I think that really describes, again, the heart and the action of someone discipling another person, right? And so this is the perspective that I want to focus on with the time that we have left this morning. And I think that we can do this from a biblical standpoint because Paul used that same language as well. And I want to read to you 1 Corinthians 4. And it says this. It says, I do not write these things to make you ashamed. And so to give you some context for that line there, Paul has just spent the previous 13 verses challenging the church in some areas in their life where they've been maybe giving in to sin or having some struggles. And he was doing it in a loving way, but that's the context where we come into this passage. And he says, so I write these things to you not to make you feel ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel, and I urge you then to be imitators of me. So that's why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of the ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in the church, right? And I just think that's a beautiful image of discipleship. And so while our topic is multiplication through discipleship, I recognize that with this word father and fathering the next generation can be a bit of a hang-up for some of us. And I get it, right? Because while I do believe that as fathers, we do have a unique and defined role in the lives of our children, I want us to understand that in the context of this passage today, when it comes to discipleship and especially fathering and even fathering the next generation, I'm here to say that it doesn't matter whether you're male or female or married or single or have children or you don't have children, the methods that Paul is talking about apply to us all today and the calling is for all of us, okay? And the second thing I want us to understand that the word father spoken about in a healthy, life-giving way is hard for some of us to connect to. Because the reality is there's many of us sitting in this room this morning who did not have a good experience with their father, right? And sometimes when we have those experiences and we hear words about, you know, God being the good father or even a verse like this or even a call to discipleship by father in the next generation, the enemy is right there just like discrediting us and our ability, you know, and our giftings because of our past experiences, right? And you know what, and as I look at that and I look at those reasons and even those lies that the enemy would say about who we are, what I've also seen is that we serve a God whose life dream, I believe, for us is to not only see us come in a relationship with him, but also to work at healing us. In fact, he's so good at bringing healing into our lives. And so I believe this morning that no matter what your past is, no matter what your brokenness, whether you didn't have a good father figure in your life, the beautiful thing about following Christ is that he's about healing, he's about restoring, and he's about repurposing broken lives for his glory. And so I just want to say that because I do not want to allow the enemy to discredit you because of what you didn't have in the way that he wants to use you in being a father to the next generation. See, when Paul talked about fathering these men and women in this church, it was not a place of control, a place of this overarching authority figure, but instead he saw himself as a father in their faith of Jesus Christ, and he recognized he had a responsibility to this church in helping love and nurture and guide this young church in their faith in Christ. And I really believe that this calling is still alive for the church today. We think about discipleship and even fathering the next generation. And I think this is so important in this season of life that we talk about these things. Because the reality is that our church is on the verge of losing the generation of millennials. And for me, that's very disheartening because it means there's going to be gaps, complete gaps in the age in the next 5 to 10 years in the church where there will actually be people missing if the research comes into being. And one of the organizations we've talked so much about is Barna, and they do so much research on this, and they did some research on the millennial generation, the generation that's checking out of church. And they talked about all of the struggles and difficulties that the church was having and engaging them. But they also did some research, and they found 5 key factors that would help bring this generation into the church. And I want to just read to you the number one factor that would bring the next generation into the church. And so the first factor that's going to engage millennials at the church is as simple as it is integral. It's relationships. Are you surprised? No? Are you tired this morning? I know. I feel it. Goes on to say, those who stay in the church were twice as likely to have had a close personal friendship with an adult who was inside the church. 59% of those who stayed report such a friendship. That's powerful, isn't it? Versus 31% among those who are no longer active. The same pattern is evident among more intentional relationships such as mentoring. 28% of millennials who stay had an adult mentor in the church other than their pastor, compared to 11% of dropouts who say the same. And so 7 out of 10 millennials who dropped out, and I think this is really key here, 7 out of 10 millennials who dropped out of the church did not have a close relationship with an adult. And nearly 9 out of 10 never had a mentor in the church. That should break our hearts. Because it feels like as I read this, there's missed opportunities that don't have to be, right? And so, understanding that there's a calling to this, understanding that there's a great need in the church and in the next generation, I want to relook again at our passage in Corinthians, and I just want to encourage us with, I believe, some simple tools, a mindset, a heart for understanding what discipleship is about, because it is about our heart, right? And I want to share these things with you, hopefully in a way to encourage you this morning. And so as we look at God, how did Paul father this generation? And what does that mean to help me understand what my role in discipleship actually looks like? And it begins with this. Paul fathered the next generation by becoming aware of the needs of the people around him. And it was just that simple, because the church at Corinth, guys, it was surrounded in a completely sex-obsessed culture. Does that sound a lot like our culture right now? And there was so much sexual brokenness. And Paul recognized that. He knew that there was brokenness and that there was lies being told and people were struggling with their sexual identity. And in the middle of all of this, there was so much confusion because there was countless other religions giving way to a pick and choose faith. Well, I like this, and I like this, and I like this, and that will be my gospel. This was the time of the church. And Paul recognized, and even though it was scripture even reveals to us that he was afraid to even go into the city because he knew the challenges were there, God was opening his eyes and he said, see the need, I will be faithful, but see the need. And all I'm asking you to say this morning is, would you commit to saying, God, would you open my eyes to see the needs around me? Would you commit to just praying that simple prayer? God, open my eyes to see who has a need that I can maybe help fulfill. The second thing he did, he chose not to use shame as a way to bring or keep people in the faith. Right? And the church has been criticized for this. And while I know that we do need to challenge sin, because we know sin leads to brokenness and bondage that hurts us, it hurts our families, it hurts our children. So there's a need to talk about sin. But I believe we can do that in a way without using shame as a tactic to steer people back to the faith, right? And I know so many people are afraid to attend things like a Set Free retreat or a Conquer series because we know that there's so much shame attached to the things in our life that are broken. And the enemy uses that to keep us from experiencing freedom. You know, as I was thinking about this, I even thought about, you know, how I sometimes have given into parenting, right? Because one of your greatest fears, at least for me, was, God, I want my children to know you and I want them to follow you. And in moments of fear where maybe they were choosing their own path, you know, I remember and I gave in to using either guilt or shame as a tool to hopefully correct them and encourage them back into the faith. And as I look back at that, I go, how is that an encouragement to come back to the faith, right? And so as we look at mentoring and discipling people around us, while sin is real and we need to be challenged in it, let's always use encouragement, right? Not shame. The third thing, and I've kind of spoke about it, but he chose to encourage them. Have you ever had someone tell you that they believe in you? I have. Wow, that is fuel for weeks. It's weeks, right? And I realized, you know, as I was being encouraged by that one simple word, it hit me one day. I could do that. God, open my eyes to see someone who just needs to know that someone believes in them, right? People need to know, the younger generation needs to know that there's people who believe in them, believe in their abilities, right? Believe in who they are, believe that they can live out the faith, right? Someone just needs to hear that they can do it sometimes. The fourth thing that he showed is he made the gospel the center of the story. I really believe, guys, that there isn't anything in our life that we don't deal with, that the story of the gospel, the word of God, cannot give us guidance to help us overcome and find freedom. I believe that. I believe the gospel is so relevant. I believe the word of God is so relevant in helping us deal with insecurities and fears and brokenness. And so let us center our conversations on things better than just the weather, and as much as we appreciate good weather, let's center our conversations on the gospel story. Let's center our conversations on who Jesus is, because everything, no matter how surface the issue is, how far it seems removed from the gospel and the story of Jesus Christ, everything can funnel back there, and that is where we find hope and healing. Let's have conversations about Jesus, what he's done in our life, our testimonies, how he's set us free, how he's helped us. Let's have Jesus conversations with people, because that is where we find help, right? And you say, I'm not wise enough to help people deal with the situations, but has God set you free in one area of your life? Then you've got a God-given wisdom that can benefit someone else, right? Number five, he used his life as an example, and that's both good and bad. Man, I have so much great material of all the things I've done wrong. And sometimes a little humbling, right? You're sitting with someone who's younger than you, and you know, maybe they even look up to you, and it's like, all right, so let's just put this on the table. Here's some things I've screwed up in. But here's what God has taught me, and how he's had grace in those periods, how he's delivered me. And so I'm encouraging you to definitely not go down that path, but also to know even in your mistakes, God has grace and he will deliver you. And then, praise God, too, there's also good things in my life that I can share. I actually did this right. And so if you do this, there's going to be some good things too, right? Number six, and I love this one. So cool. Openly expressing Christ-inspired love to those he fathered. I love just to hug a young man and tell him I love him. Feels so good. And it feels good when someone tells you they love you, doesn't it? I remember at one youth event, and we just had a powerful move of God. It was a weekend retreat, and afterwards, I just knew that God had been working in this young man's life, and he just came up to me, and he just gave me a big hug, and he said, Corey, I just love you. It's like, oh, my weekend, oh, two thumbs up right there, right? People just need to be told that they're loved. They just need to be told that they're loved. Most of us know our sins and our shortcomings and all of that stuff, but we just don't get told that we're loved enough. Would you agree this morning? But you know what? We can do that. You can tell someone that you love them, right? In the name of Christ, right? I love you, and I want good things for you, and I want to encourage you not to give up, right? So I wouldn't have a lot of time left, and there's just a couple of things that I think I just wanted to close with you guys, and this is, again, not to shame anyone, but there's a couple of things we have to understand that Satan will sometimes use as obstacles in front of us, and with the time left, I may not have time to share all of this stuff with you, but I want to really, really look on a couple of them, and first one is that I want to look at is I don't care, and I'm telling you that because that's been my heart for so many years. And this is not to shame anyone or hurt anyone, but the reality is sometimes our hearts get so distracted by the things of life. And I remember clearly one day God convicted me on that. What really matters to you in life? What's most important? And I recognized that my heart was out of alignment with him. And in that moment, I was just simple, God, I'm sorry. And I'm inviting you, and I'm inviting you. And you can pray this too. God, I'm inviting you to open my heart to start to care about things that you care about. And that's such an open door to discipleship, right? Not condemning, none of us. Okay, this morning, we're good? Yeah, okay. The second thing, oh, I've used this so many times, guys. I don't have time, right? Time is precious. I know it's precious. But again, coming back to the things that God was working out in my heart, you say, Corey, what really matters in life? When you get to the end of life, what do you want to have accomplished? And he began asking me this question over and over again, and he began to bring clarity. And I want to be remembered for being a good husband and a good father. I want to be remembered as someone who cared about people and loved people. And as I thought about this, and God was bringing my heart into alignment with his, it was really about people. Right? And so that challenged me. God, how am I spending my time? How am I spending my time? And how do we spend our time on those things that are valuable and fruitful in our lives? And so I started trying to strategize, God, how can I free up more time for our congregation, for our family that's going to be coming? And I was thinking, God, what are all the things that we can do? And then I remembered a stat that I shared with you a number of weeks back, where on average we spend 1.5 to 3 hours on our phone a day. And the revelation came, guys, what if we would put our phone away one day of the month and connect with one person and commit those 1.5 to 3 hours to one person? Woo, revolutionary, right? And this isn't condemnation. My phone reminds me every week how much time I've spent on it. I'm like, whoa, okay, delete, right? So I get it. Sometimes I just don't want to know. Why do you keep telling me this? Is it you, Lord, right? I'm not trying to condemn us, but let's just be real, right? Scroll, 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 scroll. God, what have I done with my time? And I'm not asking you to give it all up. I'm just saying one day on one person once a month. And don't you think we could have an impact on the world? Yeah, we could. We could. Number three, my life's not perfect yet. Right? Sometimes we say, God, when I get here and here and here and here, then I'm ready to disciple, right? Then I'm ready for serving you. And God's going, no, why wait? You won't be perfect, right? We discredit ourselves. And I understand, there's sometimes we need to deal with stuff in our life, and I get it, we need to take seasons, but guys, there's so much, and I just encourage you, if you've learned one thing or God has set you free in one area of your life, there's a chance that you're one step ahead of someone else that you can reach back and pull ahead. It's just that simple, right? Right? Number four, I've never had someone father me, I don't know how. And this is a very real thing. And many of us in the church, we just feel completely, you know, immobilized because of our past experiences like I talked about before. And so what do you do with this? And I was speaking with Pastor Claude about this, and he was saying, Corey, I didn't have a spiritual father in my life. And he shared that story with you here many times from the stage. And so we've been thinking, well, how does a person who doesn't have that in their life begin to understand what discipleship looks like? And he said it was this simple. We sit down and you think about all the things that your own father or maybe your mother didn't do for you, didn't say to you, didn't spend time with you in certain areas. And you make a list of those things, and you begin to pray over those things and say, God, these are the things that I'm going to do for someone else. Right? So the enemy would have discredit you because of your past, but the Father wants to actually empower you and equip you in a way that is far beyond yourself, right? Because I honestly believe that the people that if you commit to doing that and you commit to praying over that and that God would send someone to you, there's a really good chance he's going to send someone to you who's experiencing exactly what you experienced and have come through, and you're going to be able to mentor them in such a powerful way. Because I honestly think that the cycle of brokenness can end with you and through you. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Awesome. I'm going to invite the worship team out, and I'm going to invite you guys just to close your eyes, actually, and not stand for just a bit. Guys, I want to talk to you just a little bit more, but a reason I'm asking you to close your eyes is because I just need you, as much as you can, I know in a room full of people, but just get into a space that's just your own space. Because as I was thinking and dreaming about this and reading God's word, he just reminded me again of who we are, who I am in him. And I want you to try and capture an image or a picture if you can as I read this last paragraph to you about who you are and what God wants to do in and through you. Because the reality is, guys, when you and I come to Christ, we are filled by the Holy Spirit. So right now, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. Right? Not only does he dwell inside of you, he has actually empowered you to be an agent of change, a healing word in someone's life. Right? I'm just saying, God, thank you that you have empowered me and equipped me to make a difference in someone's life. Because of you, I'm a life changer. You can just say that to yourself right there, right? Because in reality, guys, we've been called to the front lines. The front lines where the battle is. With a purpose greater than living to be comfortable. With a purpose that's greater than living just to be entertained. God, forgive me for where I've come to believe that life is about my comfort and my entertainment. And you can just pray that right there. God, forgive me. If that's you, just pray that right there. God, forgive me, right? It's not about shaming anyone. It's just about God bringing realignment to what matters in our life, guys. So often we wonder, why does it seem like the story is of the gospel is not working? God, why am I not experiencing freedom? And so often we've just allowed our life just to wander out of alignment. He's saying, bring it back, centered on me, centered on your purpose. Understand that your purpose is so much greater. It's for greater things, right? Guys, God wants you to know this morning that he has given you the keys to unlock life for someone else through Jesus Christ. As you're sitting there this morning, thank you, God, that you've given me the keys to unlock life in Jesus Christ in someone else's life. He's given you the tools, guys. He's given you the tools. Just accept that that's who you are this morning. You're meant to change your life. You're meant to breathe life, to spread life to someone else, right? Because that's really what sharing the gospel is. It's just spreading life, right? You know, the reality this morning is that God has given you weapons to overcome bondage and brokenness strong enough to beat generational sins and spiritual death. And that's only for not only for you, but it's also for other people. God, thank you this morning that I can help someone through Jesus Christ, through his power working in me, overcome sins that have been destroying their family for years. God, people have been hurt and beat down and broken in life and are believing lies from the enemy about you and about themselves. God, thank you that with your word and with the power of the Holy Spirit that rests inside of me, I can help break those chains by speaking up and speaking hope and speaking truth. That's you. If you're a follower of Christ this morning, that is you. This is your picture. This is your destiny that God has called and equipped and ordained for you to step in, right? But I've said all morning, guys, in order for us to step into our destiny that God has for us, we have to know what matters in life. Who are we living for? What are we living for? And guys, if God is giving you that picture this morning of God, I want to realign my heart. I want to live for something greater than just comfort or entertainment, but I want to live for your glory by fathering the next generation, discipling people around me. I want to live with your purpose in mind. Then this will have to be your calling. This will have to be the path that you walk on, where you become ruthlessly dedicated to put to death any distractions that get in your way in accomplishing these purposes. God, I am ruthlessly dedicated to putting aside things that will not help me to nurture my family, nurture my marriage, nurture my kids, nurture the next generation so that they're here in church. God, those things I want you to put to death in me, and I want you to bring to life in me the reality and the calling of my purpose. And then, and only then, God opens the door and says, come, I have people for you. I have life for you to experience in a whole new way, a joy that's beyond measure as you step into alignment and purpose for me. Yeah. Thank you, God. So if you're here this morning, and you say, God, that's what I want for my life. That's what I want for my life. More than anything, God, I want to live a life on purpose that when I get to the end of my days, it matters. And God, I want to commit myself to aligning my heart and my values to you. And God, I want to commit myself to finding at least one person I want to speak some life into, even if it's just simple things. If you're here this morning, you say, God, that's what I want for my life. I want you to stand. So I'm praying for you. You can just stand. It's like this isn't, and you don't have to feel guilty if you're not standing this morning, right? This is not about anything like that. It's not about shaming anyone. There's nothing like that. This is about saying, God is calling my heart this morning. Say, God, I want to live for more than just myself. God, I want to make sure the next generation knows you and knows your love this morning. And if God's just stirring in your heart, not out of guilt, but out of passion and compassion, just stand this morning. Thank you. Right? And if you're in your seat this morning, don't feel bad. Would you just consider, if you know people are standing around, just pray, God bless them. God bless them in their journey. We're doing this together, right? Father, thank you so much for every person who stood this morning. God, thank you for every person who's in their seat praying for someone who's standing this morning. And God, this is not about shaming anyone. This is about reality, God, of our journey and our life with you. And God, I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just fill each person in such a unique and special way this morning, in helping them understand what discipleship looks like, Father, in just opening their hearts in such a loving and compassionate way. Say, I want to be a father to the next generation. God, would you inspire them? Would you equip them? Father, would you just fill them up with your love that they could just go and share that with someone else. And God, we believe that as we make these commitments to you, will be faithful. You will be faithful in bringing people into their lives. Pray all this in your holy name.
Thanks for joining us on the GMC podcast. For more information about what's going on this week, check out gmchurch.ca. Thank you so much for listening and have a wonderful week.